Hi, I'm Michelle from YFS, and thanks for joining us for our podcast series on stuff you need to know about the law. Today we're focusing on family law and orders relating to children's contact. With me in the studio is Vi and Mel from the YFS legal team. How are you going, guys?
Good.
Hi, Michelle.
I like Vi's very quietly sitting there in the background today.
Yes. I'm not going to tell you what she's doing.
All right. So let's have a chat about parenting orders, which I guess when we talk about parenting orders, is that orders that outline children's contact when a couple have separated?
Yeah. So a parenting order, so it's a very specific term.
Yes.
A parenting order is an order made by the court.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you've been to court and you've had an argument and mm-hmm. the judge has made a decision.
Okay.
It can mean that, but it might also mean that you and your ex have had a discussion, you've come up with an agreement and you've asked the court to stamp it so it's enforceable. Once it's got that court stamp on it, that's a parenting order, mm-hmm. if it's about children, and that will dictate how each parent spends time with the kids, who makes the decision for the kids, where they are on special days, yep. who can access things like their medical records and their school records, basically everything about children, mm-hmm. it will specify. And that order, if it's an order, is enforceable. So it's a little bit different from a parenting agreement yep. or a parenting plan mm-hmm. that you might have come up with in mediation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do we go about getting a parenting order?
Okay, so two ways to get a parenting order. So the first is if you have a good relationship, you've had a chat, you've decided what's happening, or if you've been to mediation and you've come to an agreement. Once you have an agreement, you can make an application to the court for what's called consent orders. So that's mm-hmm. when everyone agrees about what's going on.
Yep.
You make an application for a consent order and you send off to the court the application and also what we call a draft minute of order. So that's just a list of the orders you want the court to make.
Okay.
The court will have a look at it. The registrar will normally have a look at that and say, does this satisfy what the legislation requires that it satisfies, that mm-hmm. it's in the best interest of the children,
mm-hmm.
the children are being protected from abuse and harm,
mm-hmm.
and that the children have an access to some sort of relationship with mum and dad, if that's appropriate, or their parents, sorry, if that's appropriate.
Yep.
So they make sure it satisfies those things. If it does, they'll stamp that order and that order becomes enforceable. The other way you get a parenting order is the not so nice route. And that means that you've tried to work things out. They've not worked out. You've had to go to court. You've had to appear probably in the Federal Circuit Court or the Family Court.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of years,
yeah,
you've gone through a trial,
okay,
and you've had to have a judge make a decision
mm-hmm.
about what's going on, and they've heard evidence from you, you've been through cross-examination, it's been a whole rigmarole, and then the judge is going to make a decision. They're going to decide who makes the decisions for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
They'll decide who your kids live with, who they spend time with, and how that time is spent between the two of you.
Yep. Okay. So in an ideal world, I suppose we'd all come together and come to some agreement.
That's right. In an ideal world, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
That's obviously not going to work for everyone.
Yes.
But if you can make that work, you should put your effort mm-hmm. into doing that, because having someone who's old and doesn't know anything about your family
yeah.
make a decision about how you're going to work together as a family in an ongoing way
mm-hmm.
is really just taking all of that power out of your hands
yeah.
and it's putting the well-being of your children in the hands
yeah.
of someone who just doesn't know them.
Yeah. And I think it's really important through these processes, because I imagine they're quite emotional processes to go through as well, at a time where you've probably been going through emotional experiences anyway, particularly if it's been the end of a relationship and things like that, or a change in a relationship. Getting back to remembering what it's about, and that is in the best interests of the child or children.
That's right.
Yeah, and also I think there is a presumption. So the law sort of looks at it, what's in the best interest of the child or children, and there is a presumption that what's in their best interest is to have contact with both parents.
Mm-hmm.
But that presumption can be rebutted in when there's cases of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
child abuse or child neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So all those issues will be brought before the court as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's also important to remember that when you're talking about instances of domestic violence and things like that, even if that has been the experience in the family situation, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be a relationship between children and that parent.
Almost always there will still be a relationship
yep.
between the parent and those children.
Mm-hmm.
The family court prioritises children's relationships with both of their parents over almost everything. So if the child is at significant risk, the court may make a decision that limits a relationship, but it's very, very rare for the court to make an order that sees that the children spend no time with one parent. I was in private practice for about 4 years before I came over to YFS, and I only ever saw it happen one time. And it was an extreme, extreme case. The matter had been going on for 7 years or something in the Federal Circuit Court.
Okay. So, yeah, and I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, where you can't come to an agreement, someone making a decision, and those decisions are based on the law.
That's right.
Yep.
It's based on the law and it's based on the evidence. Quite often you're not going to be able to prove things to a requisite standard in the court because, you know, these are feelings and they are things you've experienced. You're not going to have taken notes. You're not going to have had someone filming you, you know, unless you're Kim Kardashian, you've got a, you know, a film crew behind you. Very usually these things won't have any evidence, so it's really hard to prove. And you, by the very nature of who you are going to be biased in that situation. To think that what you want is going to be in the best interest of the children. So the court tries to get independent evidence. So they might ask you to go off for a report so that someone independent can assess your family. They might ask you to go undertake some drug and alcohol tests. They might ask you to engage in some sort of psychiatric testing. They might ask you to go do counselling. And then they'll make a decision about where things are going. But you don't. Just because you're in that litigation, it doesn't mean you can't come to an agreement. So lots of agreements are made in the forecourt or the Federal Circuit Court. You never actually have to go before a judge except to say, we came to an agreement, we don't want you to make a decision.
Okay. All right. In terms of that process, I know in a previous podcast we talked about the mediation process is where that's the third party led discussion around trying to come to an agreement. If people find themselves in the situation where they're beginning to explore children and custody and access and parenting agreements, what should they do? Access information, advice, where do they go?
Absolutely. Your first port of call should be speaking to a lawyer. That can be a privately paid lawyer. It can be a legal aid lawyer. It can be a lawyer from a community legal centre like YFS Legal. You need to know what the law is looking at and what they're going to be assessing when you get to court. And all the different forms you need to fill out and how much it's going to cost, because unfortunately it's not free to file in the Federal Circuit Court. You're looking at about $465 to file, unless you can get some sort of exemption, which you can if you hold a Centrelink concession card. They'll waive the fees for you. But otherwise it can cost between $450 and $700 for you to file those papers in court. And it's not just as simple as writing down a list of what you want. You have to fill out legal orders that explain in terms the judge will understand. You have to fill out what's called a notice of child abuse and risk, which is like something like a 32-page document that outlines to the court how much risk the child is in with the other party. And you have to fill out an affidavit as well. This all sworn documents that will explain to the court your story. And it's not a simple process. You really need some advice about how to proceed.
Absolutely. When orders are in place, I suppose it's up to each party to make sure that they're meeting the conditions of those orders.
That's right. And so orders in the Federal Circuit Court and the Family Court, they're what we call default orders. So they are, if the two of you can't come to any other arrangement, this is what you fall back on. So they're very flexible. It's not like the orders will say this, this and this, and you have to do this, this and this, even if you both agree on something else. The two of you, if you say you've got an order that says that in even numbered years, the children spend Christmas with dad. But this year, dad's going to Hawaii with his new girlfriend and doesn't want to take the kids. Two of you can agree the kids will spend this year with mum and they'll swap next year and have next year with dad. As long as you both agree and that's in writing, that's fine.
Okay.
But then if someone decides they don't agree, then the kids have to go to Hawaii with dad.
Yeah. So that's, you fall back on that. So you if there's an agreement, but if you don't agree, you fall back to what the orders say. Yeah.
So there's never, well, there's never any dispute. Of course there's going to be dispute. But there's always something you can go back to and go, okay, well, this is what I have to look at. This is where I'm working because I just don't agree with what's happening over there.
Okay. If people want further information or want to get advice in relation to the steps and the process, you've mentioned community legal centres, so free legal advice and information.
That's right. They provide free legal information and advice. advice. Mm-hmm. Somewhere like Legal Aid might be able to provide you that as well. It's probably not going to be as in-depth as it will be at a community legal centre, just because they've got shorter advice times.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can also consult a paid lawyer if you're in a position to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want further information, a starting point, YFS website, yfs.org.au, or you can call YFS on 382 6150. Thank you.
Thank you.